Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 221. If you bop on over to the Nerdist channel, you will see myself guesting on 4 Points with Alex Albrecht and Allison Hayslip, also Chloe Dykstra. This is a really great show. It's a weekly show, just sort of wraps up 4 news stories of the week that are relevant to your interests, and it's a blast. The show's so much damn fun, so go over now to the Nerdist channel, youtube.com/Nerdist, click subscribe, watch 4 Points. Also, some other great shows coming up this week. Ain't It Cool with Harry Knowles will be coming up tomorrow. That'll be Thursday. There's always fun things happening. And our new show, The Realm of LARP, premieres Monday. So youtube.com/Nerdist, go over there, click subscribe. Just because it'd be nice if you did, then we could keep making more shows. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by Go to My PC by Citrix. Go to My PC connects you directly to your Mac or PC from any other computer and from your iPad and your iPhone. So you can access, you can literally access all your files from anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be in a coffin somewhere, and as long as you get some kind of signal, then you would be able to access your files. You would also be a vampire. Or some other iteration of the undead, which is fine. I'm not prejudiced against you. You could be totally cool. So access all your files. Go to My PC. It's very simple. If you go to My PC today, there's a special 45-day free trial just for Nerdist listeners. You're going to click the Try It Free button. You're going to enter the promo code Nerdist. And then download the free app to your iPad or iPhone. That is very simple. Go to MyPC.com. Try it free. Promo code Nerdist. This week, we are happy to present a hostful episode. I'm going to be back in town for a while. This week, actually, this is going up. I'm heading off to Atlanta to do some Walking Dead stuff. And then I'll be back in town for a little bit until Comic-Con. So we will have a steady stream of hostfuls for a little while. We always try to do them whenever we're in town. So we're always doing our best. A big thanks to everyone who came to the Nerdist TV show tapings, the shows that we did for BBC America. A handful of new specials are coming up. We did shows that are based on toys and games. We did a show on science. We did a show on time travel. Did a show on Comic-Con. Did a show on Nerd Girls. So a bunch of great guests. Felicia Day was on the show. Danica McKellar was on the show. Aisha Tyler was on the show. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Bill Nye, the science guy, which is also going to be a podcast. So a lot of really fun stuff brewing over at Nerdist Industries. Like this episode, Nerdist Podcast episode number 221, Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I can't really hear myself, Katie.
I hear you.
Blah. Oh, wait, that's better.
You're number two.
Okay, you're number two.
You're number two.
Chris. Are you recording?
Who's number one?
I'm number one.
Jonah's number one. I'm number three. That's appropriate.
You are number six.
No. Whoa. I dropped a lot.
You are.
I am not a number. I'm a free man.
Really fucking got to get on these mics, huh?
I am so furious. Why is it not working again?
Because the computer's broken.
I've had I've had so many connections.
Hey,
problems
you're
the
doing
last
it.
Couple days.
It's happening.
It's frozen.
Your
Gmail's
opening.
Oh, Gamal.
This is a medium-sized shirt.
I love Gamal Nanjiani. He's my favorite comedian.
Do you get your email through Kumail?
Yeah, well, no, I switched over to Gamal. Kumail.
Chris Hardwick at Kumail.com.
Always said can't really weird, and I was like, come on. I want
people's names are different than yours.
Da, 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 da.
What do you got there, Jonah?
Jonah's opening.
Is that something from Jonah Radio?
I've gotten many submissions from Jonah Radio. The best music has come from Sub Pop, so that's very nice of them to send me stuff.
Have they sent you anything yet?
I got a stack of awesome. That's why you said it was fan mail, because it says it on the box.
Yeah, it says fan mail on the box.
I noticed that.
Or maybe it meant it ironically.
Yeah.
Here's your fan mail.
It's just mail about fans.
Here's your dat fan mail.
Dat fan. This is a new album from King Tuff.
People's names are weird.
This is a great album. I've been listening to it a lot. This is a cool thing about the packaging. If you get the actual CD, this is the lyric sheets, but each one has a different piece of art with the lyrics on the back of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. So that's really good. And the new Jail record, I haven't listened to that yet. That's going to be pretty good. But here's one I got from the Diddy Committee, which has they have a logo. They have a seal.
I was in the Itty Bitty Diddy Committee.
Itty Bitty Diddy Committee, which was just like really short jingles, right?
Yep.
No, it was Tiny Puff Daddy impersonators.
Oh!
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I would call it.
The Diddy Committee, which is Dinky Music for a Stinky Future, is their saying.
Gotta be
they're
good.
They're from D.C., or maybe that's just
Diddy Committee in D.C.
But here you go. They said, "Dear Sir," which is more respect than I deserve.
True. Maybe they think someone else is opening
it. Yeah, that's true. "Enclosed you will find the first official release from the Diddy Committee. Look at it. Hold it in your hands. Sniff it. Stroke it. Cram it into your CD player or computer. Listen to it. Like it. Play it for the masses. The world will be a better place. Thank you sincerely, the Diddy Committee, diddycommittee.com. And let's see, they have their business card here, which the first website they have on it is myspace.com/the Diddy Committee.
Oh.
Fans love MySpace.
They do. Well, that's like, it's
still
as far
exists
as, yeah.
For them.
But what's better than MySpace
is not
Bandcamp.
Being on MySpace.
Oh, Bandcamp is actually
or SoundCloud. People like SoundCloud.
Yeah, I don't like SoundCloud so as much as Bandcamp.
Why, Jonah?
It's just the interface is better. It looks better. You can get more of a feel for the artwork of the band. But what they do need is a way to bring in a social networking aspect. So bands you're listening to on Bandcamp will have like a here's the other bands we like on Bandcamp, and that's a they'll put their
you
friends.
Mean, what you got to do is drop the from the Bandcamp and just make it Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
There
I'm
you go.
Sure, I think it is just Bandcamp.
Oh, okay. Well, then my advice stands.
Thanks, Sean.
Oh, sure. Well, I just made $50 billion.
Yeah, you sure did. Meeting minutes. Oh, I get it, because it's like a committee that gets together and someone has to take the minutes. It is nice packaging. It's a digipack, but it comes with a CDR.
Oh, okay. All
it
right.
Seems like all the effort put into everything else.
Oh, that's
all
right.
Though this is kind of, I think this actually is an actual stamp.
Yeah, I think they stamped the blank labels.
So that's pretty
rad. That looks really cool. I like it.
Should we?
Yeah, put it in. See if, can you play it, Katie?
Katie's in her Sunday soccer outfit.
Do you play soccer,
is this
Katie?
Different than her Monday soccer outfit?
Tuesday's rugby.
Yeah. Katie.
Thursday's lacrosse.
Katie is the summertime.
Katie.
That's what I'm convinced.
Katie is lives. Summertime. She just sits back and unwinds.
Yeah. They gave me a shirt.
Oh, I like that shirt.
Yeah. It's a medium, but it seems quite large.
I'll wash it once. I'm sure you'll.
It's a Hanes. You're just really breaking it down.
Jonah, you'll grow into
this. This is how interesting Jonah Radio is going to be. It's a Hanes tagless. 100% cotton, so yeah, I'll probably shrink a bit. It's black.
Heavy breathing makes me laugh. This is the
Diddy Committee?
Okay, good morning. Thank you. And also, on our behalf, many thanks for... I want to
did we make a mistake?
Four things. One was just talk about.
Jabba the Hutt has a weird opening.
Joint communique on November 5th in Hodgman.
Oh, it's coming.
Some of the thoughts around that.
I remember that from a keyboard I had in 1988.
Sweet.
Stop the madness!
Someone
start the movie!
Someone loved Captain Beefheart.
Yeah, total Captain Beefheart.
Yeah.
Can you jump ahead to another track?
Let's do Grand Larceny. That's, I guess, track two.
Ooh. All right.
Thumbs up.
A, song. B, because.
Oh, this is the.
A, B, C, where this is going.
The Diddy Committee almost knows the alphabet.
D is for Diddy Committee. Jinky sounds for a stinky future. Jingles that go for the jugular. The kids who beat up in high school. E is for education. F is for the.
If I had discovered this when I was a teenager, I would have listened to the shit out of this.
But as an adult.
Oh, stop it. I like it.
E, F, G, H, I feel like I'm fixing to die. J is for the joke that's on me. K is
for
the
da,
da, da. Probably goes through the alphabet. That's probably good.
Let's check another track. Maybe there's the one. Alphabet. Maybe Grand Larceny will be a bit more of a.
probably does the.
I just goes on from there
that for a while.
That's the order.
K through Z.
It's probably 16 more.
That's the order it goes in. Let's try the next track. Because it has.
Does this remind you at all of the Real Tuesday Weld?
I don't know that.
What?
Would I be willing
oh, not anymore.
To commit grand larceny?
Yes, I would.
Would I disgrace myself in the eyes of society?
Doop-a-doo-doop-a-doo-doo.
That's right. A bit of an Adam and his package feel to it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's a little piece of Jonah Radio that may never come.
Hey.
What?
Give me time.
Okay.
Give me time. But, yeah. I just recorded yesterday a couple segments for Jonah Radio.
What?
I recorded with Nick from the band Unicorns and Islands and Mr. Heavenly, and we talked about, we're going to have a segment every episode. We went to a bowling alley and talked about conspiracy.
You're welcome.
Conspiracy theory.
You know what? Didn't I'd invent
never been,
bowling.
I'd never
you
been to a bowling alley
bowling,
before.
I didn't. I kind
I mean,
of
you might act
it.
Like you invented it. Your dad probably had a lot more to do with bowling than you did.
He'd like to think so.
Yeah. The whole time I was growing up going to bowling alleys, I had no idea that you were the reason for it, that you had gone back in time and planted that seed in my head.
I psychically influenced my dad from inside his balls.
There you go.
Oh, nicely done. Yeah. That was a strong sperm.
Yeah. But I had Nick talk about, he's really kind of obsessed with rock and roll death conspiracies, like how Jimi Hendrix was killed by his Hells Angels manager.
Sure.
Because Jimmy was planning on leaving him. And then that guy mysteriously died in a midair collision over Siberia.
With no plane.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman hit him.
Yeah. And then there's the Bob Marley one, who he was killed kind of in a CIA operative.
You know, there's a lot of, like, the CIA stepped in, like the Marilyn Monroe, like a lot of, you know, the government stepped in. I don't know why these people think the government is so organized to go in and assassinate celebrities.
Yeah, the thing is, though, because of
why
the
not?
Actual documented evidence of the CIA tracking John Lennon, like how it was a thing that happened. It's documented. They were keeping tabs on him.
I would imagine they were keeping tabs on everyone who was super famous, though, wouldn't you think?
But it's because this guy was kind of, you know, talking a bit anti-establishment. And if you think about the stuff that was happening in Jamaica, where there was a presidential election in Jamaica, and there was one candidate who was being very backed by the U.S. government, and Bob Marley was like trying to throw a concert. To kind of say, hey, this is kind of a bullshit situation. We shouldn't go for this guy.
Yeah.
And the night before the concert, someone came in and tried to kill Bob Marley.
Well, I mean, that would have to mean that that a concert would make a difference.
But
no, but it's just like,
if you listen to his music, it's very aggressive and confrontational.
Well, that's the thing. If you think about it, both Bob Marley and John Lennon were like the word they use the most in their songs is love.
Yeah, but I think in real life, John Lennon might have been kind of a dick.
Oh, I'm sure he was a dick when it comes to dealing with people.
I disagree.
You don't think John Lennon was a dick?
No. I don't think so.
I don't know, you see those
Why
early...
do you think that?
Because people who knew him and wrote books about him said that he was just like really mean. And if you were...
Yeah,
like...
but I don't think he was any meaner than Jonah is. And Jonah just does it as being funny.
No, but I think...
I don't think John Lennon was mean.
Listen, I think if you had the seeds of kind of being an arrogant dick to people when you're growing up, and then all of a sudden you become one of the four most famous people in the world, you might... That might... enhance that a little bit.
Yeah, I think he. It's not to say
I really
that. Not
hope
to say
the fourth
that any,
one wasn't Ringo.
No,
it was Elvis.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think, you know, it, that takes away, him being a dick takes away from his message.
No, of course
not.
No, not at all. Of course not.
But yeah, like, you know, if you think about it, or if you see those early interviews, he's like, he's just kind of a dick. Just doesn't care.
Wouldn't you be at 22 years old?
Yeah. That's the craziest thing. Everyone, you know, throughout their lives holds true these lyrics from people that, if you think about it, these lyrics were written by like a 21-year-old guy,
yeah,
or a 22-year-old kid, and like you're like, you wouldn't listen to a 22-year-old kid now.
No,
Chris, if you was like, it's like, hey, 22-year-old kid, give me some advice to live off of.
Oh, sure, all you need is love.
Yeah. Fucking idiot,
fuck
you don't know
you.
What you're talking about.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
they were like, he probably wrote that when he was 25, 26, right? All you need is love. 67.
Yeah,
yeah. Kurt Cobain died at 27.
27. Yeah, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's this guy. Is this? Well, he's what's going on." And now that I'm older than, you know, a lot of these people, it's like, "Fuck you, fuck you." I you know, you see, especially because in L.A., you go to shows and you see this kid singing. You're like, hey, "What do you fucking know about heartbreak?"
The Kinky Wizards.
The Kinky Wizards. Yeah,
it's really fucking good, man.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the I don't know much about the Bob Marley murder conspiracy.
It's pretty. It's
I thought he died clearly of like some sort of gangrenous infection.
It was actually it's weird because
he was
there was a the son of a CIA of a senator who was very against Bob Marley.
Son of a senator.
Yeah. And this, he comes to the concert and he gives Bob Marley, like, he's like, here, I got you these boots. I'm a really big fan. And he's like, oh wow. Yeah. He's like, try them on. He tries it on. Tries on one of the boots and he gets a prick in his toe, and then they look inside the boot and there's like just copper wire just in there, and like
from the, you know, when shoes are made, they have to stretch the leather around the copper wiring in there.
Yes. So. And then he breaks his toe a few days later, just a thing that happened. So when he goes to get that fixed, they find that he has cancer inside of him, and then he goes to a doctor in Jamaica. I believe the
when
lot
do you
of
go get a broken toe and then they when do you go to get a broken toe looked at and they go, oh, you have cancer.
That's exactly it. He went to a doctor. This is what you know. This is the conspiracy theory. I'm not saying there's like not holes, and I'm not saying
I know.
But
I
this
just,
is
conspiracy
this,
theories. Whenever they're laid out for me, I always laugh.
Yeah.
At some of the.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, he goes to a doctor. The doctor is a state run facility, and they're saying, oh, you know what? It turns out you have cancer. You have to. We'll recommend you go into this place in Switzerland for treatment because you need it real bad. You need
so
treatment
part of
real
the
bad.
Conspiracy is that he doesn't really have cancer, and they send him to a facility,
and then all of a sudden
to murder him.
Like they can't get a hold of his family can't get a hold of him, his friends can't get a hold of him. They're saying, oh, it's part of the therapy.
Maybe he just was following the Grateful Dead.
It's possible. And then here's the craziest part: turns out the doctor whose facility he was at in Switzerland was a former Nazi scientist.
Oh. Well, former.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
not going to hold that against him forever.
Come on.
But, that's the conspiracy theory, and that's one of the things we talked about.
So what was it that ultimately, what are they suggesting as part of the conspiracy that actually killed him?
The whole weird idea is that in that copper wire, or on that copper wire, there was a cancerous agent of some sort.
What?
Or some kind of, thing.
How do you get cancer from pricking your toe in a
Hey,
copper
listen,
wire?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
The government knows. We don't have to.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just it's a very interesting way of thinking about things.
I would like to simplify that and say maybe the conspiracy is that he went to the doctor and they told him something that wasn't true and then sent him to a facility and then just shot him when he got there.
Hey, possible.
How about that?
Yeah, sure.
Possible.
I'm in.
How about that?
That makes more sense.
Also, they say, you know, Mark David Chapman, the guy who shot John Lennon.
Yep. NBC.
He was drugged and brainwashed to shoot John Lennon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or he was just crazy.
Hmm.
That might be more likely.
I don't know. I feel like the first one's it.
You like it?
Sure.
I feel like...
These are things that people think.
They need to search John Lennon's shoes for copper wiring or any kind of cables or any
Mark
sort
David
of...
Mark David Chapman's.
Or any kind of coax
that hookups. Picture that Yoko took of John's glasses the night after he died. Like it's like he's got their glasses are broken and bloodied.
Oh, she took a picture.
She's
of
an artist.
That's she put she it on does. Instagram.
She put it on the Instagram of the time, which is Polaroid.
Yeah, and it looked like it was from like the 60s.
It was really cool. It looked like it was from 1980.
No,
in the 60s they wanted 1930s filters.
30s filters, yeah.
Yep.
And then the 1930s, they wanted 1900. They just wanted daguerreotype. And
yes, then, daguerreotype.
And then in the late 1800s, they just wanted
a
woodcuts.
They just needed a picture.
They wanted their photographs to look like woodcuts.
Yeah.
And then a couple of decades before that, they wanted everything to look like those crazy Bible pictures that people would hand draw.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know, man. The government's drugged me. Pow! You know too much, Jonah Ray. You know too much.
I will be a martyr. Did you guys see Prometheus?
No.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying to see it. Yeah, yeah. Everybody hates it. Everybody hates it. I liked it.
Everybody hates it. I've heard everyone I've seen has loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now with the people I went, Kumail can't stand it.
Well, he's picky.
Yeah, and also we went with our friend Ryan Ridley, who might as well just be named Ryan Plothole Ridley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He just points out everything?
It was instant, right? Right upon coming out of it, he's like, why did the... I was like, I don't know. Maybe to fill in all those plot holes, the movie would have been 4 fucking hours long. Maybe sometimes you need a guy to just go, well, this is what's going down right now.
Is he the kind of guy who's like, that guy was just in another room. How'd he get there?
It's like the kind of people that made dogmatic filmmaking. You just have to show everything that happens in real time.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
How come that guy's a robot?
Yeah,
which guy?
There's no guy. No robot guys.
Like, it's like they brought up a bunch of questions and they didn't answer. I don't know. Maybe it will happen in the sequel. And like I heard a guy we were with, this guy.
It's almost like talking to someone full of conspiracy theories.
You know? Yeah,
it's
we crazy. Walked out and he was just like, ugh, the worst. What the fuck? What do you mean the worst? We just fucking saw an amazing feat.
Yeah.
Of fucking, like, you know, there was like
Nick Swardson has a great bit about that where so he was like, you know, someone saw Batman and they're like, Batman sucked. And he's like, if you showed someone Batman from like 30 years ago, their fucking head would explode.
Exactly. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing a sequel to the
prequel.
To the prequel.
Which would make it another prequel.
Which is
but
like
a
it's
sequel.
A separate storyline.
It's
sequel
a prequel.
To the prequel.
It's a sequel.
Don't start that.
It's a prequel. It's a sequel. It's. The movie after Prometheus.
It's a squeakquel.
It should be.
There you go.
It should be minus one. It should be Aliens minus one. Alien minus one, and then Alien minus two.
Yeah.
Like the prequel. Alien minus 1.5. Actually.
Oh yeah. And then it leads up to.
No. Aliens minus 0.5 because it would be closer to. Alien.
You have a Boba Fett on your finger.
So what? I think it's weird that you don't.
And a Star Wars.
I think
shirt.
It's weird that you don't
and
have a Boba
Star
Fett
Wars
on your finger.
Now you're just trying too
you
hard.
You want some of my
Chris?
Finger?
Now you're just trying.
It smells like a pit.
Yep. Of Sarlacc.
Oh.
He shot his way out. That's how he didn't die in there.
You know, at the very last minute, you can see that his pack
he's got
out.
A jetpack and a gun. And he's just shot
out.
His way out.
Yeah.
That's
good for
him. How
he blasted himself out.
I like whatever enzymes are in the Sarlacc pit keep you alive for 2,000 years.
So they have to feed
digested.
You. They have to feed you and keep you alive for so long
so
just
that
to
you
digest
can
you.
Yeah, like slowly.
Yeah, but you're slowly digested. You feel it over 2,000 years. How do you live 2,000 years?
That's a question for Carl Reiner.
Super enzymes inside of the Sarlacc. That's what I've decided.
No, Carl Reiner.
So we should extract
He should ask
it.
Mel Brooks.
Carl or Mel.
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars.
I don't think anyone listening got the 2,000-year-old man reference.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Well, get ready for a, hey, at Matt Myra, I understand the reference. You know, we're not all kids, you know.
Jonah, wow, he
Jonah,
actually wrote Sniffle in
the tweet. He just called me.
Oh, speaking of the Star Wars, I went up to ILM last week because we're getting ready for Course of the Force.
Industrial Light Magic.
And I got to, like, there were Ewoks and there was an R2 unit. And then
Is
came
it true that he only has one R2? You guys had to go and get one from, like, a farmer?
I think we couldn't use...
A moisture farmer?
We went to a farmer. Yeah. I mean, they have the R2 unit in their store, like the original R2 unit, which obviously we're not going to use that. And so I believe there was... San Francisco has... There's like a local R2 club.
Yeah.
And I saw them at the Maker Faire a couple years ago, and it's fucking awesome. Like, all the R2 units look amazing.
And they're all just done by guys.
And they're all just done by dudes and...
Or ladies.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
dudes and ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just... What we mean
Peeps.
Is they're just done by human beings.
Right.
Like, not companies.
Well, start using human beings then.
And
don't
so,
just say guys.
All right. I'm sorry, ladies. And
ladies.
So... I was talking to Matt. And so...
Thank you.
Each R2 unit has a different... Like, the whole thing within their community is they all try to make it do something cooler and one-up each other. So one will actually, like, have, like, the little working arm that comes out. And one, like, a lot of them, like, beep and whir, and then some of them are remote control.
Which one serves drinks?
Probably the one with the arms.
Nice.
Or they just put a fucking keg tap in it.
I've seen that. I've seen that.
Oh.
The R2.
So yeah. It was fun, though. It was a good shoot.
It was amazing. And then we came back, and then Chloe Dykstra and I shot an episode of Epic Mealtime Star Wars themed.
That's right.
Which was really cool. Fucking fun.
I saw Harley at E3 with his fucking
beard. I didn't recognize him at first. He started growing the beard when we shot the All-Star Bowling episode, and it was just about where yours is. Right? Just like scruff.
Yeah, scruff.
And then a couple months later, and it's
Canadian.
He's gone past. Yeah, he went past the Zach scale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's way...
It's in the blood up there, right? That's got to be what
it's
it is.
It's Rosenstein territory?
It's almost. Yeah, yeah. But it's just super thick and, you know...
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty... You get jealous of it.
I envy that so much.
I know.
That's why Scott Mosier and I do a podcast. I can just look at his beard.
Are you going to start making t-shirts that say Fieber Fever?
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Please do. I'm very excited that we were able to put up the Third Eye Myra video this week on the Nerdist channel of you singing loudly Third Eye Blind in the back of the car.
At the behest of you guys.
It didn't really take a lot of encouragement.
No, it really just took the beanie. My spin doctor's beanie.
My spin doctor's beanie.
You guys are two princes.
That's what happens. You can't help but say that every time you put on that beanie.
It is.
That's the same noise when you draw on picture pages.
Where were we?
We were in between Denver and Boulder,
driving in
February.
I watch that every once in a while and just smile.
I don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's on the Dropbox, but I don't.
It's a fun. Well, now it's on YouTube,
well,
so everyone can have it.
And the one with me. That's from your birthday.
The one from you. Yeah, that's from my birthday party.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Where you got some sweet karaoke action in there.
I love that song so much.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for everyone. They should just watch the video.
All right,
it's fun.
Yeah,
that I was.
Or you don't have to watch it.
No, you do.
Everyone's gonna love what you do in it.
You're adorable in it, man.
Yeah.
You're adorable in it, and you're like, and you get so excited, like, oh, they could never say the going down on you part on the radio. Like, you get so
true.
Excited.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah.
They always had to cut that out.
I
had the CD single.
Just like
I
in the Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Down would she go down on you in a theater?
If we record more hostels here,
because
I'm
such a man that apart today, I'm not going to close your eyes, and you know it.
No,
I got one hand in my pocket, I'm gonna scorch it.
Give it to old Charlie.
Stretch my hand down some of the fella's back.
One hand in my pocket, the other one's giving a thumbs down to Jerry.
I hope you do the Charleston
in a moving picture theater.
Thank you.
Would he go down on you in a talkie?
In a talkie.
Oh, 1930s Atlantis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Counterfeit money machine.
Electric tie rackets are nice. Moving ties from side to side. Electric tie rackets are nice. We're racking up electric ties.
Counterfeit money machine. Make your own money at home.
Mr. Play It Safe was afraid to ride the train.
You know what I was listening to? Can't remember who was with me, but I was drunk and I popped on the old Beaches soundtrack. And it's
Beaches.
Yeah,
the Barbara Hershey movie.
With
the Barbara Hershey movie.
Because they're like the songs from like some of the musicals are fucking great. Like the Industry.
I don't know the Beaches. I don't remember the Beaches soundtrack.
Can you pull that up?
The Beaches soundtrack.
Oh, Industry. There was that one. Actually, let's go more to what we were talking about. The Otto von Titzling.
This is, by the way, I just want to say it's much better recording hostels here.
You like recording them better at Meltdown?
We're closer.
Oh,
it's brighter. No, I mean,
it is nice.
Katie's running everything.
Katie's doing everything.
It just feels.
We're not waiting for a CD to fail.
Like I feel tired, at room.
Yeah.
I don't listen. We don't ever have to record there again.
Oh
but
no,
you
we're
guys,
not attacking
you. Guys work in that building.
Oh no.
Like, during the week, it's fine.
Yeah, oh, okay. On weekends, it just feels nice to not go into the building.
Like, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Let's just do it here.
Otto von Titzling from the Beaches soundtrack.
What'd you say?
Otto von Titzling.
Weirdest sentence I've ever heard.
Say it again.
Yeah. Oh man, this is a great one.
Beaches and beaches have cancer on beaches.
Otto Titzling, inventor and kraut, had nothing to get very worked up about. He
This is the story of the guy that invented the bra.
Oh, right.
I do know this song.
I love it.
One night at the opera, he saw an Aida whose bust was so big it would often impede her.
Yeah.
Bug-eyed, he watched her fall into the pit, dumbing by the weight of those terrible tits.
Terrible tits.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There she rose. Aerodynamically, this girl was a mess. Otto eyeballed the diva lying comatose amongst the reeds.
Here's a good one.
And he suddenly felt the fire inspiration flood his soul. He ran back to his workshop where he futzed and futzed and futzed. For Otto Titsling had found his quest to lift and mold the female.
Get it? Titsling.
Yeah, 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 Titsling, because it's a sling.
To keep the big ones high.
Over the shoulder boulder holder.
Yep. So how much of this do we...
I don't know. We could turn it out. There's like when she like... She does a thing where she like says something really fast. And
well, it's interesting because the other day I was listening to the Men talented. Don't Leave soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. But that's a good one. You could check out Oh Industry. That's a fucking... That's like... The part of the movie scared me. It's still kind of a scary song, but it's an industrial song.
What do you... Oh. Barbara Hershey has some cancer. She moves on the catch of cancer.
I wanted Ministry to cover this. Or Nine Inch Nails. Or The Faint, anyway.
Ministry or the Sisters of Mercy or...
Yeah.
The Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah.
Hey.
Pretty spooky. You can turn it off. Because the scariest part is when at the very end, like, there's all these guys with weird faces, and
I think
at the very end, she turns around and she has the same face. It's like it was like a Twilight.
I think the scariest part is that Bette Midler was singing that
apparently
song.
Apparently, Beach is not at all what I thought it was.
I thought it was a sad Best Friend Cancer movie.
Yeah, me too. Have you seen Beaches? I've never seen Beaches.
Oh, I've seen Beaches. Well, my mom watched it all the time,
yeah, of course.
So I see it all the
great
time.
Great excuse.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
I don't think I have.
We've got a good, like, you know, it's like we had friendship throughout the years.
Can
and
I be honest?
They...
I can't watch sad movies.
Oh, I don't
care
for
it. Yeah, don't fucking watch that movie I was talking about last time. Don't
watch
Take This Waltz.
I will not. I cannot watch sad movies. I am like an emotional sponge.
You're the opposite of Sean Patton. Sean Patton fucking loves watching sad
movies. I absorb all the emotion and then I can't shake it for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
so it's very hard for me to watch.
You saw me that weekend. I fucking couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I
know. And I get worked up when I fucking talk about it.
That was like after the Kevin Pereira's last video on Attack. I was shaken up for like 2 days because it was so sad. And I've only cried during three
or in the end of time when Tenet regenerates.
Then that didn't make me cry.
I teared up on that one.
That didn't make me cry. Only three things that ever made me cry was that Attack of the Show video, Awakenings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Big Fish.
Oh, Big Fish. You know what? I didn't cry because by that point, I didn't really enjoy the movie.
Oh, I love Big Fish.
I wanted it to be the fantasy story of this guy's crazy life. I didn't want to have it like, Dad, is it all real, Dad? Dad. I hate fucking sad dad shit.
What about sad dads and grads?
Sad dads and grads. My scammy, flammy, mammy. Yeah, I know. Like, I get, you know, that's why I don't watch baseball because I'll cry because I'll think about my dad.
Well, then you're probably not going to come to July 2nd, Star Wars night at Dodger Stadium when I'm going to throw out the first.
What?
I'm going to so
Are
beat
you
it.
Kidding?
I'm dead serious.
That seems dumb. For a guy, what are you going to do? Ironically throw the baseball?
I love it so much. I can't wait.
Are you going to fucking throw it underhand like it's a bowling ball? You're throwing in Dodger Stadium?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, it's funny because...
And you won't appreciate it as much as...
60 feet, 6 inches.
I do appreciate it. I intellectually, I know that it's a fun big thing to be... Like, I call my mom... My mother
is such
a sports fanatic. Like, she calls into sports shows, and she knows everything about sports. Both my parents
this
are super,
true.
And so, you know, when I call my mom and I go, okay, look, I'm going to be doing something that's going to be a very big deal to you. And just before I tell you, just know that you're invited. And she was like, okay, is it local? And I go, yeah, it's local. And she goes, does it have to do with the Dodgers?
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, it does. And she goes, are you throwing out the first pitch? And I go,
because she probably knows about Star Wars Day.
And she didn't.
Oh, okay.
She just, because I made it seem like I know this is a thing that you will really
need.
She was like, are you throwing out the first pitch? And I go, yeah.
scream for a minute straight. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. You have to go practice. You have to go to Dodger Stadium. You have to talk to one of the coaches in the bullpen because they don't do anything anyway. And you need to get up there and you need to stand on the mound. It's a lot higher than you think it's going to be. And it's a lot farther than you think it's going to be. And you need to get in there. And, and like, it just turned into that. And I'm like, and this may be why I never wanted to play
sports. Oh, man.
This is all she ever wanted.
Dude, this is your entire childhood that's going to gear up for this one moment for your parents.
And I cannot fuck this up.
Don't
and I'm afraid I'm going to fuck it up.
Don't ba-ba-boo.
But he spun it into something funny.
No.
Okay.
He was tortured for months.
Are you going to practice?
I'm going to throw a couple practice pitches. I think I'm going to go to Dodger. If they'll let me, I'll go and throw a couple practice pitches.
I've been meaning to get a
Let's
glove
go.
And a ball
Let's
if
go.
You want to play some catch with me, Dad. Chris.
I'm not entirely. Sorry, son. Dad's busy.
When you're coming home, Dad,
I don't know when.
But we'll get together there.
But not really.
We're having a good time there. Squirtle down, 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 down. Big fish crying.
And Beaches soundtrack.
Is it funny that both you and I have dads that will play that to us?
You know, when I watch Beaches, when I watch Beaches and I cry really hard, I call it the Barbara Hershey squirts. I'm sorry, is that unfair?
It's totally different.
It's great. It's great.
I would have thrown out this pitch at Dodger Stadium on July 2nd. First of all, I'll probably get booed the second I walk out because like 50,000 people or how many people does Dodger Stadium hold?
Well, it holds like 55, but it probably will have July 2nd. What day of the week is that? Anyone
it's
know?
It's a Monday, I think.
You're probably going to have 25,000 people there.
Yeah,
it's still gonna be a lot of
Trina's
people.
Trina's gonna freak out. Our friend Trina Calderon.
It's still gonna be a lot of people, and line producer on Nerd TV show.
Which is like, I don't know a bigger Dodgers and Star Wars fan than Trina.
So I'm thinking maybe I'll come out dressed as Han.
Mm-hmm.
Because you already have the outfit.
Why are you fucking laughing at me? Why are you laughing at that?
I don't want you to do this.
I want to go to it. Can you bring me?
Yeah, I can bring you.
Sweet. Do we get to watch the game too?
Sure.
I don't know if he knows the answer to that last part, but we can stay.
You can watch the game. You can watch the game.
Do you want to go?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we should go.
It's fun. You can go.
See if we can get good seats.
We got a fucking streak.
Of course we can get good seats. It's Dodger Stadium.
I'll get you good seats. I'm throwing out the pitch. I'll be able to get you good seats.
I don't know. Magic's pretty tight.
Oh, yeah. It's Magic's now.
So mm-hmm. How do I throw a baseball? Is that a bad question to ask a couple weeks
ago? A lot of mechanics to it, but it's not as hard as you think.
I'm not as unathletic as you might think.
Right. I really thought you were going to stop.
You've thrown a baseball.
I really didn't think you were going to say might think. I thought you were just going to stop it as, I'm not as athletic. I'm not as unathletic as you. I thought you were going to say. And I was like, whoa.
You are athletic, though, because you used to play baseball.
Yeah. So throwing a baseball is it's easier than you think. There's a couple different grips you could use.
Here's what I'm afraid of is that if I parallel it to bowling, I know that it's all about timing the release of the ball properly.
Yeah.
And if you release the ball too early, it's going to fly up. And if you
You're
release the ball too late,
it.
It's going to go into the
You're
ground.
You're overthinking it. Just throw it at the catcher.
Yeah.
That's all you got
to
do.
Because it doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't have to be, you know, too precise.
I'm gonna wing that as hard as I can.
Yeah, don't throw
it. By the way, if you haven't really thrown a baseball and then all of a sudden you throw a baseball as hard as you can, it is unimaginable arm pain for days.
God, yeah.
All of a sudden your elbow goes numb.
Because you release it wrong, yeah.
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 What's the right way to release it?
You just get find your arm slot and just you release. It depends on what you're throwing at.
Now I know, and this isn't a brag because I don't really care about sports, as I've said a million times before. But I'm friends with Barry Zito. Should I have him coach me?
Oof, not the way he's been playing. Actually, he's had a pretty good season.
Has he had a good season this season?
You know, I think that the first pitch should have more at stake. Where like they should the first pitch should be actually part of the game. It shouldn't just be something that happens before the game.
Chris wouldn't be doing it then.
Can I build?
No, but like that's the thing. That's what would raise the stakes of the first pitch, where it's everyone's set up on the team, and like everyone's
then
on the field.
Then you would end up with just like the kicker in football. You'd sign this guy who's only good at this one thing. Which
no, you don't sign him because it's the first pitch. It's a celebrity thing.
All right, so then all the celebrities would be athletes.
Should I make?
No, but it's still just as random. Ruining the bit.
Should I make?
It's not a bit. You're talking about baseball.
Should I make a baseball cannon out of like PVC pipe and?
No.
Okay.
You should break your arm and have it heal in a way that makes you throw a ball super fast.
Then I'll be rookie of the year.
This tendon is going to fuse to your elbow.
Yeah.
I just watched that on HBO Go.
And then cut to later that night when you hear the screams from the kid's bedroom when he rips his cock off because he's a teenager and they masturbate and his arm's super crazy.
I don't get it.
Did you ever see... You know, so. a lot of things had
that
to
the wind was very
fall into
funny
place
to
for that bit to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bit. It's baseball.
Soundboard. Right. That's You're Myra's right. soundboard. It's not a bit. It's baseball. Yeah, I'm very nervous about it.
I love it. Let's go play.
I'm very nervous about it.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today.
I put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
It's 1930s Alanis Morissette covering John Fogerty.
Yes.
There's a lot going on in that bit. There's a lot going on in that truck outside,
the
too.
The block party game truck that just drove by?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
This is nice.
It is really nice.
I never said it wasn't nice. I love coming here. Listen, and Katie's got the fucking... I don't have to worry about handling the show. Katie's got it covered over there.
That's all Chris is looking for. Someone else to blame.
Well, that's true.
Katie, how come this show did... What happened? What'd you do? What happened?
What happened?
I got to figure out how to throw a baseball in a couple weeks.
I think we can do it.
Montage.
Baseball.
It's a training montage. It's a training montage where you get a little better in every shot. Montage. It's a training montage. It's a training montage. You start off knowing nothing and you end up really good.
Talking fucking montage.
Because it takes too long to show the whole progression. Tell that to your friend who you saw Prometheus with.
Was that in a... was that in... what movie was that in?
Montage is a Trey and Matt song.
Yeah, from Team America? They did it. There was a Team America.
Yeah. They did it in an episode,
they
though,
did
too,
it in an episode.
Right?
They did it in the skiing episode.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We did that on Barnyard.
What?
Montage songs.
Oh, really?
We did them all the time.
All right.
Hmm.
Trey and Matt did it first.
Maybe.
I am sure of it.
Well, if they did it in Team America, then they did do it first, but I never saw it on the actual show. Never saw it on the actual show.
It was in the episode where... Stan goes to Aspen, and then the guy hates him for
You know
no
what's
reason.
Weird to me about South Park is that...
It's the greatest thing ever.
I genuinely recognize South Park as one of the consistently best written things.
Yeah. Oh, God,
it's
great.
In all of television.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't watch the show every week.
You are gross for that.
Yeah.
It's so fucking
It's so
good.
Good. So consistently
Their misses
enjoyable.
Are much better than most people's hits.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah,
but yet, for some reason, I haven't... It's only when I catch wind of like, oh, yeah, I got to see this episode, then I'll down. I think it's just a time issue for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just a time issue.
I know this isn't good good podcasting, but I'm going to show you a picture of something I found in a tree in my backyard.
Well, if you look at podcasting manual, section 4, subsection 2, it says no pictures on the podcast, Jonah.
That's Article 4-7.
This is hanging from
That's
a
Article 12
small
of you correcting
branch,
me. You're not supposed to do that.
And I don't know what it is. And it's the size of a fucking football.
It's a fucking moth nest.
Is that a
moth nest?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a moth nest.
I
think it's
Is it a moth nest monster?
I think it's a Mothman prophecy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a hornet's nest.
Hornet's nest?
No,
it's not a hornet's nest.
It's hornet's nests like are in corners and on
How
ceilings.
Big is the size of a football?
It's about that thing is about this big.
Oh, it's Mothra's chrysalid.
Yes, that's what I find.
There you go.
Yeah, it's bigger than that actually. Yeah. I'm very
Pretty
scared.
Fancy.
We're gonna wait until the day before trash day and then just like cut the branch, have it land into a bag.
And just what if something horrible jumps out?
I don't know. I'm very scared.
Nothing horrible is going to jump out. I think you're going to be okay. I would just hit it with
what
a hose.
What if it's spiders? It's too big. I don't want it to break open and just have so
a million
many
spiders.
Fucking spiders crawling out.
A spider storm on your face?
Yes. The spider storm will purify the earth.
You should call Billy the Exterminator from A&E.
No.
That's a show.
Yeah, I know the show. We show clips of it.
Oh, of course. Every stupid show I enjoy... They show clips of it on the suit. Yeah.
We actually show clips of Billy the Exterminator.
Boy, you're that target demographic, all right.
Yeah, Fuck yeah.
We showed clips of that on Web Soup.
Web Soup.
What is that?
Web Soup. It's I was reminiscing the other day looking at old sketches we did. We had a lot of fun.
There was a weird Twitter war between Tosh and Rob
Deerdick.
Yeah. Where I guess Tosh is very antagonistic.
Yeah.
And Tosh made fun of him on Tosh.0. And Rob's response was like, basically, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's talk about this in person, if you know what I mean. Kind of like,
and
just told
like,
jockey fucking asshole move.
And not like, hey, you know you host a show where you make fun of people, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that
I've
not...
I've been made
well,
fun
like,
of on both
was,
of their programs.
You know what the thing, like, Tosh's thing was he did it like a full-on just sketch parodying Rob Deirdre's, like, was it Dream Factory or Fantasy Factory or something like that? It's where he has like a, it's like, little kids go, oh, I want like a... Like a crazy skate park that's also full of like, you know, bounce houses or some shit like that. And so like Tosh did a sketch where it was a parody of that, but it was just like, you know, he makes all the kids take their shirts off And it's just like really homoerotic and pedophilia, you know, sure. based. And so
hilarious.
Yeah, then Rob,
I mean, right there.
Deerdeck gets upset, and then but you can't say anything to Tosh because he can just, like, you know, there's the two personalities those guys have. It's just going to be fucking silly for a
well,
while.
Well, Tosh is yeah, you can't. He's just like a turret. Like, you just can't.
Yeah, you can't hurt him.
Like, the more you try to attack him, the more. I mean, he's amazing at just kind of spinning it
yes.
into, you know, especially if you're not a professional comedian.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see the whole thing, so I don't know. Maybe it really bummed this Rob guy out. I've never seen his show, so I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
he stands on a giant laptop computer.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, all web clip shows are so 2010, so I have just moved on. But it's because people were trying to involve me in the fight. They're like,
yeah.
Hey, why don't you step in? Like, I don't want to get hit by either of them.
Guys. Joel, like, everyone was tweeting at Joel too, saying, are you going to say anything about this? And he's like, no, I don't need to.
Why would we?
Why would we?
It's just an interesting stance for the MTV guy to take. It's funny for me to refer to someone else as an MTV guy. So the MTV guy to take when it's like, but your show makes fun of people, so you don't want someone to make
plus,
fun of
plus, they're all in the Viacom family. Just get together. Hash it out.
Personally,
Have a beer with Obama.
Maybe they worked it out. Maybe they worked it out.
Yeah.
I don't want people to fight.
The golf cart video was on Rob Dyrdek's show, but I've never seen it on there. But I got a check, so it happened.
Really? You should tweet at him and go, I settle things my way. See you soon.
Eating contest.
Right.
Yeah, did he make fun of you on the show? You don't know if he made fun of you on the show?
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
So he probably made fun of you, a big guy getting run over by a golf cart, but then someone made fun of him, and then he's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, why not?
Wow. We have on the Sklar Brothers episode that we did, we just casually threw out a couple of scientific Yo Mama jokes.
Right, so people have been adding more to those?
And so on the Sklar Brothers thread on the Nerdist website, it just turned into this amazing, like, scientific... this one's from Matt Grandis. Your female genitor is of such disproportionate volume, I'm simply baffled. And then a few later...
female genitor.
It turned into... Where is it? Oh, this was Josh on the website. Your paternal unit fertilized your maternal unit's eggs in a particle collider. Actually, wait, that's a compliment. I take it back. Your paternal unit did not fertilize your maternal unit's egg in a particle collider. Take that. And then Matt Grandis. The senescence of the receptacle of your paternal spermatozoa is so advanced, the geocentric model was still the general consensus in her youth. The geocentric model, that's genius.
It sounds genius.
That's the Earth being the center. and then Dr. Quimento said, perhaps all of what you two have said is purely factual, but it doesn't change the fact that your mothers recently joined a weight loss program and were so successful that the IAU downgraded them from planets to dwarf planets.
Oh, I like that one. I get that one. I like that. I get that.
That's fun.
And then D said, the female originator of one half of your genetic material was so most egregiously lacking in typical facial bone structure that early 20th century scientists once briefly quarantined her as the last scion of the Piltdown Man.
Wow. Deep.
And then Aria said, your mom is so ugly, they need to make her mirrors in 360p standard definition.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's all fun.
Till somebody gets hurt.
Aww.
Like your mother's.
Oh, and hey, Jonah, I got some penguin news for you.
Oh, man, I know. Yeah. The day after the fucking Conan herring. Like, it was the day after the news came out.
What are penguins going to do? Oh, yeah, Jonah Ray.
What are penguins going to do? Be racist? No, rapist.
Rapist. God.
So how's that rapist on your arm, Jonah?
Well, you know what, though? The penguins they're referring to are Adelie penguins, and I have a South African jackass penguin on my arm, so...
Hey, man, they're all just penguins on the inside.
So your jackass penguin actually rides motorcycles off ramps into waters and throw dwarves through plate glass windows.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your jackass penguin.
There, you know, I got tweeted by TJ Maxx.
That's how that joke worked.
I got tweeted by the...
The actual store, TJ Maxx?
The actual store, TJ Maxx, tweeted at me saying, thanks. And I said, thank you. You remember that one time you took every girl to the prom? We didn't care. It was awesome.
Look at these penguins here. Just
fucking,
squaring
if they're
off.
Smart, they should contact you and then just run their Twitter account like that kid for a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to be, it's going to be like Hot Pockets and Gaffigan with you.
Oh, man. It's a, yeah, I could keep on tagging it.
Yeah, no, of course. It's great.
Yeah, that was.
Did someone make a Twitter? Oh, they're already going to do it.
He is pretty cool, though.
Katie, how what time are we at? Okay, great.
Jesus.
Good, because now is the perfect time for...
This podcast makes 45 minutes feel like 3/4 of an hour.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's Alanis Morissette. It's comment.
We're only answering Alanis Morissette questions today and or comments. So, go ahead.
You're not alone. You're uninvited. You're an infraction.
Oh, Bebot. This is what it's like to live in Wendy Carlos's brain. What are you playing over there?
I don't know.
All right.
I love this thing so much.
I have a comment for Chris.
Oh!
Would you rather have a guest spot as a survivor on The Walking Dead or see Matt and Jonah get killed as zombies on The Walking Dead?
Oh. Oh, fuck. That's a really good one. Wait. Can I be a survivor who kills zombie Matt and Jonah?
I don't think that's part of the deal. It's got to be one or the other.
I'll bet you I could make it both.
Do it.
No, I couldn't get on the show.
In fact, just kill us now.
Although, yeah, I don't know. That's a good one. I think I'd like to see you guys get killed as zombies on The Walking Dead.
I would, too.
We're doing it.
Yeah, I would like
you
to.
You are?
Yeah.
That's amazing, yeah, just based on that happened. One.
People think you're being serious.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Here we go. This is from Sophia. Hi, I'm a big fan of Nerdist. I'm wondering if you offer any internships.
Yes.
Sure. We do have internships. We have lots of interns who work here. There's interns who work at the theater. There's interns who work at the newsletter. Interns who work. Yeah, we do. I will forward your email, Sophia, to the guy who handles that. There you go.
We got a guy for that.
We got a guy for that. This is from Tyrone L., a black man, it says. That's in his email.
Yeah, we got that by the name.
How come Katie Levine has never been interviewed? She's an essential part of all Nerdist activities, and yet she never gets to be on the receiving end of an interview. I think it's about time to learn about Miss Levine. P.S. She inspires boners all of the interweird.
Wow, you could have left that part
out.
Wow.
I'm just reading it the way it says.
You read that wrong.
Nerdist exclusive interview with Katie Levine. Come here, Katie. Come here. Yeah. Come here.
Nope. Go over there.
Now they're going to fight about whose microphone you're going to take.
Together,
no, just lean into Jonah's mic. Lean into Matt's mic. There you go. Getting to know the Nerdist staff. Getting to know the Nerdist staff. Getting to know people who make it work and run and keep it alive.
What's up?
Hey, Katie Levine.
Hey.
Where are you from?
San Francisco.
When did you move to L.A.?
About 2.5 years ago.
What's your professional history?
Professional history?
Yeah.
Well, I lived in New York after college for a while and just worked out there.
What did you want to do?
What did I want to do? I don't know. I just had a bunch of jobs. Like, I was an assistant at a talent management firm for a while. I was a PA on the show Z-Rock. I worked at a post house for this show called Dr. G Medical Examiner.
Mm-hmm.
And I logged... It was horrible. I logged footage.
Yo, cancer!
I logged footage of autopsies all day. It was the worst.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
I remember that show.
I logged all that footage. And when they hired me, they were like, do you know Avid? And I was like, yeah. Never used Avid.
That's the show.
And I had to learn it.
The show where I learned the term pendulous belly.
Yeah. And then I moved to LA and I worked for Corolla for a year and a half.
You worked with Adam, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and I met and we talked and you were like, oh, you do this professionally.
Yeah. Well, I had left Corolla and I wasn't doing anything. And then I read that you were starting a network.
Mm-hmm.
And now
you run the network, basically. You produce pretty much all of the shows.
Except Phoebe.
We're rogue. And you don't produce Pop My Culture.
No.
And Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yeah, well, I post Thrilling and stuff, but like, yeah, like Legacy Music Hour, Pop My Culture, and Comic Book Club, you know, they all do that, mm-hmm. and we just post it on our site.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And you do the Todd Glass Show.
Yes. And Pete's You Made It Weird.
Yep.
And Mutant Season.
Oh, you changed my life. You changed my life coming on and taking over all this stuff. It's been amazing. I love it so much.
I love it too.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Are you seeing a fella? Does Tyrone have a shot? I'm only asking Tyrone? Because I used to host a dating show.
What was it?
Tyrone L.
Oh.
Like
no,
L
I'm not seeing anyone.
Tyrone.
Call Tyrone. That's a song.
Yep.
Yep.
One 800 Empire Tyrone. And so what are your sort of long term plans?
I don't know. I've always
What
liked,
do you want to do with your life?
I've always
liked I want to rock.
I've always liked comedy, and I knew I wanted to like be in comedy since I was like 10.
I want to be your podcast producer forever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having fun here, so.
Thank God.
And it's blowing up, so it's great.
Shit's blowing up.
It's a good time.
You've made this studio really nice, and it's like it's a friendly environment, and oh, it's so wonderful. Yeah, you're the best, Katie
Jonah's
Levine.
Just looking around the studio, looking like. I don't
Where can people say hi to you on
Twitter? Nice is the term.
Are you K Money on Twitter, right?
KT_Money
on Twitter.
Yep.
On
She's a big part of the comedy community here at Meltdown.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, you're always around. We all hang out.
Yeah.
It's fun. You know, we're up here fucking around. There's people shopping for comics. They're shooting an episode of Nerd Turns down below us.
My brother's an extra today.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He did something on his own.
Well, you really kind of helped him out a little bit.
Well, yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. I mean, you know.
He listens.
What?
He listens to this podcast.
He listens to all of them?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Oh, he's such a nice brother.
Yeah, he's a good brother. He's a great brother. He was there.
Why are you shaking your head?
I'm not shaking my head.
Sounds like you're shaking your head while you're
shaking
this.
My head. Don't give him.
You should say hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam. Get a job.
Hi, Adam Rodriguez. Does he go by Ray or Rodriguez?
Rodriguez, because my middle name is Ray. That's why I use it. His middle name is Michael.
So he goes by Adam Michael?
No, he goes by Adam Rodriguez.
Oh.
Yeah.
But why, if his middle name is Michael, why wouldn't he use that as his last
because
name?
Because it sounds weird.
Adam Michael?
Adam Michael.
No, he's George Michael's brother.
Yeah, exactly. Not mine. Looks more like George Michael's brother than I do.
Really? I think you look a little like George Michael now.
You think so?
Scruffy? Like,
scruffy? Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Hey, Matt, are we bothering you?
No.
He doesn't have a microphone.
Stay engaged.
Hey,
it wouldn't keep him from being on his phone.
That was a Katie moment.
Hey.
Good to get to know you, Katie. This is from Zaid.
Zaid?
No, Zaid. Matt should be the new Attack of the Show host. I'm not going to disagree with that. I think you should be the new Attack of the Show host.
All right, I'll do it.
Yay.
You're hired. I'm guest hosting Attack of the Show all this week.
See you for 2 gadget prawns.
Whee.
Am I gonna be in there? Yes. Am I gonna be there?
I gotta pitch that.
Am I gonna be around?
I kind of want Jonah when we're doing a gadget prawn to just be behind us, standing,
just standing there,
and maybe insulting me,
just flicking you in the back of the ear.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
That sounds mean. I don't know if I want to.
You don't want to just sit there and glare at Matt?
Yeah. I just want to be in the background.
Yeah.
Like way far in the background.
Hey, look who I invited. Someone, Matt. Or I wouldn't do anything. You just walk into the background.
Walk into the background.
We have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do
that.
Yeah,
but they probably won't let us.
What are they going to?
Because they don't let us fun things happen.
It's live television. They're not going to stop it. Well, I'll just tell Jonah to come to the studio, and I won't tell anyone it's going to happen.
I don't know. Vinny and Joshua don't really like me so much, so it's probably best if we don't piss them off.
I knew they were smart guys.
This is from Andrew. Guys, holy craptastic! That was my first email address ever. Was craptastic at AOL.com.
Oh, God. It's been going for that long, your combining of words?
Yes.
Wow.
That's called portmanteau. There's another glitzy. Is there a parade going on outside?
Yeah, it's Gay Pride weekend.
Oh, my God. Of course it is. It's Sunday. Holy shit. Yeah.
That's why it took a while to get down here.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot today was Sunday. It was Gay Pride Day. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We should be out there.
You know what else is awesome?
It's really hot outside.
West Hollywood, the crosswalks are all rainbow, which is awesome.
That's
amazing.
Oh, man. I'm fucking missing the...
It's a fun fucking festival.
I know it is.
It's a fucking festival. Yeah.
Well, I raise my
glass
fake glass
of
to you.
Chai latte.
It is my chai latte glass.
Oh, easy man. Water.
No water now.
No water now.
No water chai.
So what is in it then? Just
milk chai and chai. Mixture.
Milk and chai?
Yeah.
Why don't you want the water in there?
They think that there's a theory that the water unlocks the flavor of the chai. I feel like it dilutes the flavor of the chai. Oh. So Starbucks Corporation and I have opposing opinions on this matter.
But yours is correct.
It is correct. Yeah. It's just more flavorful without the water part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You ever get a non-fat chai latte?
Yep.
Not as
I
good.
Not nearly as good.
I do it all
no.
the time.
No, because milk fat is delicious.
Yes.
Get it at Nordstrom. I'm telling you. They
do have a good one.
Kick it.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't believe you until we got one at the Nordstrom in Portland.
Portland, yeah.
And right, what was that, Pioneer Square?
Yeah.
Pioneer Square? Is that what it's called?
All of the amazing independent coffee makers in Portland, and I was like, we got to go to Nordstrom and get
it's them. Fun. It really pisses people off from that part of the country. You're like, I'm going to go to Starbucks and then go to Nordstrom. Like, there's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we had Stumptown Coffee too. It was great.
It was good.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
But I hit all the local places. We hit all the local places.
That was actually the first time, I think, when we were in Portland, where like you're like, hey, let's go get coffee, and we didn't go to a Starbucks.
I think it's
fucking great. I remember being confused.
I'm going to Portland in August.
For what?
They're doing a Smodcast up there.
Sweet.
So I said, I'll go with this guy.
This is the Quement from Andrew. I saw that you guys are heading to Godforsaken Houston in July. I will be there. So
yeah,
excited. I've been a listener
so
for a year and a half. Haven't had the opportunity to see you guys. Other than the Scarlet Spider taking up residence here, not much exciting has happened lately. But we have the left-handed ukulele place for Matt, a great outdoor dive hipster bar named Moon Tower Inn for Jonah, and NASA and hundreds of Nerdist-starved nerds. Excited. I'm going to see you guys. Look forward to a chance to you. Are you going to go to the Johnson Space Center?
I don't know how much time we're going to have because Houston's Friday, right? And then Dallas is Saturday?
I believe so.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to have time.
How long's the flight between the two?
Between the two?
Houston and Dallas?
It's a four-hour drive, so it's
probably like an hour flight, if that.
Yeah, probably not even that.
45, 50 minutes.
Yeah, what are our dates for
I might
Houston?
Drive.
To Houston?
No.
Between the two? I've done it before. Furman and I did it. We drove between Houston and Dallas, and it is so. It's like driving across the Martian landscape.
Yeah.
There's nothing. We played. We ended up having to play Roadkill Bingo.
Maybe I won't.
Because it was so. There's literally nothing. I mean, at least you kind of joke about like there's nothing in Kansas. There are truck stops and there's corn and there's fallen down barns. There's nothing in between Houston and Dallas. I mean, like we made the Roadkill Bingo chart and it was like armadillo, snake, bird, unrecognizable. We played like five versions of that game.
Oh, shit.
So Houston is July 20th and Dallas is July 21st. That's the week after San Diego Comic-Con when we're going to be there July 13th.
Wow.
So not too far. Not too far of a flight to Texas. It's good. Houston's a hub, so it's Continental's hub. So
yeah.
He has a lot of direct flights. Sure. Hey, guys, I literally almost died. This is from Jill De La Cruz. I almost died. I literally almost died listening to the last Hostful episode, Patrick Roadhouse. I was driving home from work listening to you guys. And I started cracking up when Chris started singing Matt's guitar playing and started singing about Matt's vaginal dryness. Did you get that looked at, by the way?
Yeah.
Good.
It's all set.
I bursted into
still
laughter.
Still dry.
No, you had him check the wrong thing.
Oh.
I burst into laughter in a car in the opposite lane, came into my lane, and almost ran into me. I swerved to avoid hitting the other car and thought to myself, if that car had hit me and I had died, the last words I would have heard would have been in reference to Matt's vaginal dryness. Then I thought, yeah, I'd be cool with that.
Nice.
Yeah, you wouldn't be cool with anything. You wouldn't be anything because you'd be dead.
Or
nice.
It would give her the ability to haunt Matt's vagina and maybe moisten that shit up a little bit.
Nice.
Lube.
Ghost Lube, is that you?
No, seems like someone needs a little help.
Thank you, Ghost Lube.
Lube.
You missed a spot.
Spit on it and spread it around. I gotta go.
Thanks, Ghost Lube.
Ectoplasmic Lube.
That's if. Let's just say you were with a. If you're a Ghostbuster,
yep.
And you're with a lady,
mm-hmm.
And that happens.
I've thought of this scenario so many times.
You put a hot dog on her stomach and then slime her, like right in the middle,
yep.
And then you're good.
He just flies right through.
Flies right through, gets his hot dog, and then you get an ectoplasmic ride to Slick Vagina Town.
Slick Vagina Town.
You got there.
Didn't think I was going to. Thought I was going to drive off a cliff. Somehow managed it.
Welcome to Slick Vagina Town.
If I keep talking, the punchline will eventually arrive.
Yeah, I did a set list last night. The show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
how was it?
It was good. It wasn't as good as the first time I did, but it was such a fun show. They got a deal. They're going to be doing some. They're shooting a bunch of them in England.
Yeah, they're doing something for BBC, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I thought I would be better at set list than I was. I feel like I didn't have a great set when I did set list like a month or 6 weeks ago or whatever.
Because you riff all the time.
I do, but you know, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. If I have any excuse, I had just come back from traveling somewhere.
No excuse.
My brain was tired.
But that almost seems like it would help because then you can't. You're so fatigued that you can't overthink things, and you just go.
I know,
impulse.
But for whatever reason, my head wasn't in the right space, and I just didn't. I don't think I had a great set.
It is such a great kind of. It levels the playing field because, like, you know, you're. The other guys on it are, you know, it was like last night, it was Greg Fitzsimmons and Jake Johansson and Paul Scheer and Rick Overton and me and Blaine Kapach. It was just, but like everyone kind of did about the same.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of levels the playing field with them.
Yeah.
And it's all really, it just depends on what you get and if something happens through it.
What is that?
It's probably downstairs in a Nerd Turn something. Yeah.
Is Guar playing downstairs?
Yeah, Guar playing downstairs. We summoned them with Ghost Loop.
Well, I think we know what the name of this episode is going to be.
Just Loop with a bunch of views.
Or Ghost Loop.
Ghost Loop. Mm. It's a little nail on the head.
Oh, and Patrick Roadhouse wasn't.
Patrick Roadhouse is going to be
like
a great
cover
band.
I am the one that cleared the...
Oh, so you don't support
saying,
Patrick Roadhouse.
Saying,
hey, I voted for Patrick Roadhouse more than either of you guys.
Your negativity.
Before he fucking...
Your negativity.
I'm going
Patrick
back
Roadhouse.
To the ballot box that we keep inside the studio where everyone votes on titles.
It's only my vote in there.
And if we stopped having three different things to vote for and only three ballots, we might get something done.
But I don't count. I'm only one man.
Homer. I'm going to miss this when the podcast finishes at the end of the week.
Thanks to everybody for the people who tweeted about my Conan appearance. That was very nice of everybody.
By the way, nice job on Conan. I'm so sorry we didn't cover that yet.
No, it's okay.
That should have been the first thing we fucking talked about.
It's online if people want to see it at TBS. TBS posted on their
website.
Also
online
Team Coco.
If people don't want to see it.
Team Coco's website.
It's always really funny to see you next to Conan because I think of him as a giant and the two of you
same height,
are
pretty much
the same.
Yeah, it was weird.
Did you have fun?
I had a good time, yeah. It was a blur, you know. I was joking around with the two guys that opened the curtain.
Yeah,
you know, because like when you're doing a set, you're just behind this curtain. They two guys on either side pull it open for you to walk through, and I was like nervously just joking around with the guys. Like, well, I was like, here, take my glasses and my shirt. Go out for me.
It's very symbolic of like comedy childbirth.
Yeah, you're right. And
they open
like
up and you're just right through, and then you're
those
just in
beef
it.
Curtains,
and then you're crying.
Yeah,
those beef.
How far? When you're doing stand up, how far are you from the crowd?
You're pretty far. And it's weird because there's more audience on your left than there is because you're facing towards the camera and you're not playing to camera, but you can if you want, but you have to face the camera. And the way you're facing and the way you're situated in the audience, there's more of them on your left than there are on the right.
Politically?
So, yes. Yeah. So you turn more to your left when you're talking to the audience than you do to your right. And so it's just kind of it's a little bit. And then, you know, more to the right of you, there's another camera there for the desk, and you see Conan and Andy over there. And yeah, it was neat. And then I got to sit on the couch after the set and say goodbye.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really neat. It was really nice. I liked it a lot.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Now off to try and see if I can get on Late Night with Fallon.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do another set and try and get on that show.
I like it. Do it.
Yeah.
I support this.
Thank you.
Maybe you can go on when we go to New York in the fall.
Oh, like, because I'll be there
good
anyways. More
timing,
incentive for them.
Yeah.
Good timing.
And we'll be there in October because we're doing a podcast again during New York Comic Con.
So are we going to do two shows again or are we just going to do one big show?
Probably just one because we're playing a much bigger venue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Best Buy Center.
We're playing the venue that Gaffigan plays. It's just that he'll do like four or five shows.
Yeah.
And we'll probably, I don't know if we'll sell that one out. It's a big place. It's a big place.
Shit. Can you please, everyone, make us sell it out? Do it. Just
that's a big
up.
Venue for such a, I mean.
For a podcast.
For just a couple guys fucking shooting the shit.
Well, but we, you know, when we played the Gramercy last year, that we did two shows at 400 a show. That's 800 people.
That's true, but I like that venue because it was nice and intimate.
It is nice and intimate, yeah.
Yeah, and it was right next to a Dunkin' Donuts.
That happened.
Yeah.
That was another part of that.
That was fun last year. I actually, Dee and I kind of, we've been trying to figure out how to take a trip to, we want to go to Europe.
You mean Roger's sister on What's Happening?
No, Deanna, my girlfriend.
Oh, okay, okay.
And we're kind of thinking about the way we want to plan it is to maybe when we're in New York for Comic-Con, then fly out from there. And my friend Sam was telling us that if you can, there's a way you can fly to Iceland and stay there for like a day and a half and then fly to England. And it's like a nice layover, kind of breaks up the trip. But there's this whole package you can get where you fly into Iceland and you go to this like resort where there's like natural hot springs.
I've been dying to go to Reykjavik forever.
Yeah. And apparently it's kind of like a package deal where it's almost in a way it's like cheaper than it would be if you just went there. Where you go in, you fly, you have like a day and a half, and then you fly back. You fly into London after that.
Oh, that's cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. But then we want to, you know, I really want to go to a pub like in the beginning of American Werewolf in London. Like I want to go to like, you know, some village pub kind of thing.
And then get attacked by a werewolf on the moors.
Well,
Deanna, stay off the moors, Jonah.
Deanna's got a.
There's plenty of those. There's plenty.
An outfit.
Oh.
We're gonna just do some sexy reenactments.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of what I want to do. But I've never taken a trip to Europe or anything like
that. Me either.
And I just got my first like big boy credit card yesterday.
Big boy credit card.
Yeah, my credit is as high as it's ever been. So I was like, well, I should get a thing that gets me miles and shit like that. So.
Good for you.
Jonah's credit's the opposite of math.
Jonah's growing up. Chris's credit is perfect, but it was not for a long time.
It was a long time. Yeah, but like yeah,
and
you
now I'm
you...
insane about it.
Yeah. No, I check it constantly.
It's funny how you don't give a shit when you're 20. Like, well, I don't give a fuck about buying a house. And then, like, 6 years later, you're like, what did I do?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's been a. But take it from me.
Don't worry, man. It only takes 7 years.
I had like 300 or 400. Like, I was real bad where I was. But it just, like, you know, putting the effort towards having a car. Like, I got a car and I had payments. And, you know, my APR is the fucking worst, but it's like, it's helping my credit.
Yeah.
And then I.
At 19%? You didn't even bargain with the guy.
The interest rate alone comes to
$95,000. All right. We're wrapping up. This is boring talk. I'm sorry.
No, this is boring talk with Chris, Matt, and Jonah.
Yeah. But then I gave my bank, like, you know, $500, so they gave me a $500 credit limit credit card.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so then that helped because it just looks like it's your credit.
I can't even get those.
You just give them money and they give you the credit
card. Yeah, I know. It doesn't work like that for me. It's so fucked. It's so fucked from student loans I fucking ignored.
I don't think...
It got so fucked that the government takes my taxes every year to pay a government federal loan.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
That's how fucked my credit is.
Man.
Although they... only took $200 this year, so I think that's paid off.
Oh, nice.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
Everyone's growing up.
Yeah. Whatever. I got it. Come find me. Just give me a call. I'll give you money. To the credit card people and school loan people.
It is scary,
though.
It's
not the public.
Credit.
It is.
Yeah.
I hate it. But whatever. I don't have credit cards. I just spend what I have. And I spend it.
Yeah, but
guys.
I kind of wanted something to kind of just put a bill on, so there's always something, you know, it pays for something, and then I pay that off. You know, there's always something action on there, because that'll help.
That helps raise your credit.
Yeah,
they need to see that you have responsible with your credit cards.
Yeah, and I just kind of want the reason I got the credit card is just to, like, help
miles?
My credit.
Oh.
And kind of maybe for miles. But then also, on top of that, I just want to, have, like, oh shit money. Just, like, in case something fucked up happens.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I need money.
Yeah, of course.
Listen, a responsible way to... A very simple and responsible way to handle your finances is you save up 3 months' worth of living expenses. And you put it in an account. And just let it sit there.
Okay.
So that you have a safety net.
I'm listening.
Then you take a minimum of 10% every time you get paid and then put that into an interest-bearing account.
Yeah.
10% off the top, no matter what. And then if you're making more, you can put a little bit more. And then over time, you'll just sort of build up this reserve of money. And then you can figure out what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
I could do that next month.
You should.
Okay.
It'll keep you from living, like, paycheck to paycheck.
I'm kind of scared. My landlord called me yesterday. And she's like, how's the house doing? Could you take pictures of it?
Oh, shit.
And we were always talking about, like fixing up the kitchen and the bathroom.
So sounds like a Russian lady.
She's Israeli.
Okay.
And she's like, please, you know, we want you to fix up the place because we like the way you guys have style. So do that and take pictures.
Maybe that's all it is.
But at the same time, she's like, take pictures and send it to us. Like, what are you going to like put? Because they tried to sell it like a while before they rented it to us, and I wonder if they're going to try again.
Well, you'd probably be the first people they'd sell it to.
Yeah, but we're not in a place right now, and we don't want that house either.
Yeah,
it's nice for renting, but it's like, you know, it's not. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to that place.
I am slowly realizing that my place is too big for just me.
Joya Burrito!
Fuck yeah!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Go there now, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Nerdist for a special 30-day free trial just for Nerdist listeners. That's GoToMyPC.com.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.